Good afternoon, brethren. During the reign of Queen Victoria, there was an old lady in England who was so destitute and undernourished. She was visited by a doctor who found her in a very bad shape. And he asked her why she had turned into this condition. She answered that she was abandoned by her husband and that she had no friends. She then quickly corrected herself, saying she may have one friend, but probably she did not know her by now. The doctor pressed her for her friend's identity, and she reluctantly said that it's the queen herself. You see, the queen used to be her playmate when they were young kids. And so the doctor wrote the queen and told her about this incident and reminded her of her childhood friend. The queen immediately responded by saying that her story was true, and she also provided her a generous pension for as long as she lived. Brethren, how do you like to have the President of the United States as your friend, or the Queen of England, or somebody who is very important and powerful? It might be impossible to befriend the President of the United States or the Queen of England because we don't have direct access to them. And besides, we might be branded as social climbers. But it is possible to be a friend to a big shot without being called a social climber. In fact, he is the big shot of all the big shots. And you probably have guessed his name by now. God, who is the King of Kings, is that very important person, and he promises to be our friend if we obey and love him. The greatest opportunity afforded any person in this world is to be a friend of God. Fortunately, in the Bible, we have many role models with regards to having friendship with God. Foremost among them, of course, was Abraham, the spiritual father of all the righteous. As in James 2, verse 23, it says here, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You will notice that Abraham did not claim that title for himself. It was God who proclaimed that title to Abraham. Because we see in Isaiah 41 verse 8, where God is speaking here, says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. We might not get that most coveted title, the friend of God, because Abraham already got that, but we can also be called a friend of God. So how can we become God's friend? If you want to be the President of the United States' personal friend, you have to have the right connections so you can get access to him until he comes to know you personally. But with God, it's very different. Because friendship with God is always initiated by God. Note 1 John 4 verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. God is always the one initiating the friendship, and then we respond by doing the following. First, a friend of God must be in total agreement with God. We have met a lot of people and probably will meet many more people throughout our lives, but only a few of them will become our close friends. The reason is our lack of agreement with most people. The Bible says in Amos 3, verse 3, that we cannot walk together unless two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. And Abraham was in total agreement with God. He left the land of his birth, Babylon, and went to a foreign land in order to be in complete agreement with God. In order to become God's friend, like Abraham, we must leave our Babylon of sin and carnality and live a sinless life. We are also in total agreement with God when we share His interests. And what are the interests of God? And how do we discover them? We will begin to understand the heartbeat of God when we search His Word, the Holy Bible. Another point is, a friend of God will be loyal to his cause. Even with our human friends, one vital factor that contributes towards enduring friendship is the loyalty that we show to our friend. In the area of sticking it out with God, Abraham was a shining example. And God expects that kind of loyalty with his friends today. We can show that kind of loyalty to God by exercising faith in Him. Romans 4, verse 19-21, speaking of Abraham, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." And after God gave Abraham and Sarah their only son Isaac, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 17 and 19, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in figurative sense." So Abraham was willing to give up anything, even his beloved son. A true friend lays his life for his friend. And Christ gave his life for us. We need to give up our lives too. John 15, verse 13-15. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Another point, don't be a friend of the world. James 4, verse 4 says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We don't want the world standard to be our guide, because this world standard continually changes like shifting sand according to the influence of the prince of the power of the air. The things that God considers as abominations are now acceptable in our world's culture. Because the devil controls the power of the air, especially the mass media, including the internet, sin is rampant. And the sad thing is, sometimes we are getting used to sin. This is the kind of friendship with the world that God tells us to avoid. Another point, a friend of God enjoys fellowship with God. Among us humans, one of the hallmarks of true friendship is the ability to confide with one another. Our closest friends are those with whom we can freely confide. They are those to whom we can communicate our deepest feelings of convictions, knowing that we won't be betrayed. With real friends, we can discuss what's on our mind. We share our joys, our observations, our plans, and even our sorrows and frustrations. And when there is deep and intense friendship, there's no need to hold back. And Abraham had that close relationship with God that God even confided to Abraham the things that he would do. Genesis 18, verse 17 says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And Abraham in return also confided to God about his worries, that he even pleaded with God to spare the lives of the righteous Lot and his family who was living in Sodom. Christ described this dimension of friendship in John 15, verse 15. It says here, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." Christ himself confides to us the secret things he hears from his Father. And we can also confide back to God our innermost thoughts and desires through our prayers. And the mark of a great man of God is his prayer life. We strengthen our friendship with God through prayers. Abraham was a man of prayer, and through it, he remained in close contact with God. So, brethren, let's follow the example of Abraham and maintain our friendship with God.